Please note that this podcast contains information regarding sensitive events, including domestic violence, assault, and abuse, as well as other triggering events such as murder. This podcast is intended for mature audiences. When Alice jumped out the rabbit hole, she immediately regretted her decision. A rabbit hole is a metaphor for something that transports someone into a troubling, surreal state or situation. Welcome to Afterglow, the unveiling of the Idaho cult. This podcast will take you down the deepest of rabbit holes as it unfolds. This story is so compelling, so bizarre, and so heinous, it's impossible to look the other way. Chad Daybell and Lori Ballow were dedicated in the most horrible way to an ideology that should only be fiction. Instead, their ideology put them behind bars. Join us as we explore the lives, lies, and diabolical crimes of Lori Ballow and Chad Daybell. I'm your host, Kathy Brooks. Please follow and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Hello, and welcome to Afterglow, Unveiling the Idaho Cult, Season 1, Episode 6, Charles Vallow's Murder. Today, I have a guest host, and hopefully a permanent host. We would like to welcome my new co-host, Michelle, to the show. She has a lot of knowledge on this case, and she's going to ride the wave with us all the way until there's no wave left to ride. Welcome, Michelle.
Hi, Kathy.
Okay, so what I wanted to go back and tell everybody is on episode 5, there were two parts. It was when Charles Vallow was trying to get Lori to be evaluated. That's where that ended. And Lori went to Community Bridges to be evaluated. And according to Lori, she was fine. She passed with flying colors. Nobody thought she was crazy. And she got to go on and out and tell everybody how, you know, basically how great she was. And she's not crazy. And Charles is crazy for thinking she's crazy.
Charles planned an intervention with Lori's other brother, Adam Cox, per investigators. Months before the shooting, Charles told Gilbert police that Lori believed she was a god and accused him of being a dark spirit. He wanted to get her mentally evaluated.
If you haven't watched or listened, I should say, to episodes 1 through 5, 5 has 2 parts, you want to probably go ahead back and listen to that now if you're a new listener, because that'll give you all the background all the way up until now. Now, one more thing I want to say. It's clear that we know there's murders, right? There's no secret on how this comes about. What I'm trying to give you in this new podcast, Afterglow, is the entire rabbit holes, every single part of the story as it unfolds. So we went back to the beginning of Lori in high school, her family, Lori's marriages, her children, Charles. And now today, we are up to the day that Charles Vallow gets murdered, July 11th, 2019.
You want to talk about like the morning that how things played out in the morning there?
Yeah, let's talk about that. And first of all, we do know that Charles was communicating with Lori's brother Adam about Lori and wanted to have an intervention of some sort, from what I was able to tell based on emails and things that were posted. Do you know anything about that stuff?
Yes. Charles had used his airline miles to get Adam out to try and do an intervention with Lori. And Zach came with him, with Adam. And so the morning that it happened, Charles had went to go and pick JJ up for school. Adam was already there, and they knew something was up. Adam and Charles were texting back and forth, and when Charles went to get JJ, Charles had texted, well, they were texting each other, and so they knew Al was there, and they said, "Al's here. Something's up." So he goes to pick up JJ, and Adam wasn't anywhere around. Charles had went in to Lori's, and that's when the big, you know, everybody's got different stories to what had happened. So when Charles had went that morning, he was staying in a hotel. So, and Lori had been staying in the rental home. That morning, he was going to get JJ, going to go to breakfast, drop him off at school. I know it is unclear the time that Charles left the hotel to pick JJ up, but at about 7:30, Lori had been saying that she'd gotten her JJ's backpack ready to go to school and was looking at, you know, looked at the time and said it was about 7:30. So between 7:35 and 7:40, Lori had stated that Charles arrived at 7:35, actually, to 7:40, and said he was running late, which wasn't usual. That was unusual for him. Excuse me. Charles was usually like very punctual, always on time. She had told him, "Go now and get breakfast for JJ." Lori had said that Charles took JJ from the car, but that Charles had left his phone on the kitchen counter. He went back in to get the phone off the counter. And then Lori picks up Charles's phone, and she wouldn't give it back to him. She had told him that she was trying to look at text messages. What she was saying is she was looking at the text between Charles and Adam. So I'm not, you know, all of it, you're just not too sure about what really happened. Lori was telling Charles that she wasn't going to give his phone back, and she was screaming at him, and he just wanted his phone back. Lori said that they were like screaming back and forth, and that's when the whole, you know, Tylee and whatnot. I think personally, I think that Lori had a shot in there at Charles, but Lori had said that she was like walking around the house and that she couldn't get in, so she was trying to reach for it. That was according to Lori's interview that she had had with the Chandler Police Department. That was, quote, Lori's story.
Never before seen interviews detail the narrative initially given to detectives after the deadly shooting.
As you sit over here.
For the first time, we see and hear what was said to Chandler Police the day Charles Valla was shot and killed. These interviews take place on July 11th, 2019, after what police initially called a domestic dispute between a strange husband and wife, Charles and Lori Vallow.
Because he's coming at her aggressively.
Okay.
He's a big dude, so he's not gonna hurt my sister.
Lori's brother, Alex Cox, shot Charles and claimed self-defense. At CPD, Lori tells police Charles went ballistic when she wouldn't give him back his phone. He came to pick up their adopted 7-year-old son, JJ, that morning.
He was very worried about whatever was on his text mm-hmm. that he did not want me to see. And so I was just holding it there, and he was screaming at me.
At about 7:50 in that morning, Tylee said that she had woke up because she had heard all this yelling going on. So this is what Tylee's telling the Chandler police in her interview, which we all know all them interviews we can watch on TV. So she said in her room, because her room was down the hall. So she woke up to all that screaming and yelling, and she apparently has a bat outside her door, which I know she had that bat over at Alex's house, which is all kind of crazy. Like, why would you have a bat? Because she's scared. And I know Lori left her alone a lot at Alex's house. So anyway, she grabbed that bat that she had kept next to her door, and she came out of her room, and she's like showing the bat around. And so keep in mind, this is Tylee's story. She's saying that Charles pulled that bat from her out of Tylee's hands. So Tylee let goes of the bat and apparently falls down. So then Alex apparently grabbed Charles from the behind him, and then, so again, Tylee's story, then they both fell to the floor. And somehow it's said that Charles hit Alex on the back of the head with the bat, which we know that's not true because that little bump is nothing. I mean, you can smack him and get that, what he had on there, little tiny bit of blood. So apparently they both fall to the floor, and then Alex hit with the bat, and they sent her out to the car.
During the July 11th confrontation, 16-year-old Tylee Ryan says she brought out a baseball bat for protection.
In hindsight, I probably just shouldn't have brought it out at all because it caused more trouble. But it was kind of just first instincts, and it was right by my bed.
Tylee tells police Charles snatched it away. Lori says Alex wrestled her husband to the ground, and Charles swung the bat.
Like, swinging the bat, you know, back and forth, and they were kind of, like, on the ground, and I was, like, freaking out, trying to go around, knowing JJ was in the car.
At some point, after she fell on the floor, Lori's saying that she doesn't know when Alex had went to get his gun. So he had a gun in his room, which was down the hallway. His room was across from Tylee's. The other thing that I had heard kind of a little bit late here was that Alex had seen Charles pull up. So I got to find that information, but apparently Alex was like on it and watching Charles. So he went and got that gun and brought it out. So then, when was it? It was like between 7:50 and 8, somewhere in there. Lori was saying, oh, I heard a gunshot, and she walked from the, so she was still in there. It's just mixed up. Like, Lori's outside, Lori's inside. So anyway, Lori comes out of the kitchen to the living room, and she sees Charles's body. Like, okay, she hears a gun, and then she's just all scattered. I mean, all these stories are just freaking crazy. So then she went out to check on the, so it said, to check on the kids out in the car. So she almost went backside, but she didn't. She ended up obviously driving off, and that's when they went through McDonald's, which is all on camera too, and times and all that. So then I know Alex called 911, said he shot his brother-in-law. It was all in self-defense. And by the time Tylee had given her interview, she had known that it was a gunshot. So after that gunshot, Lori comes out right away, like she's coming out of the house after that happened. Tylee goes back into the house to get Lori's purse, and she had went through the garage, because then through the garage, she'd get to the master bedroom, the closet. Lori had said her purse was in the closet in there. Tylee said to the Chandler Police Department that she didn't see anything. She, you know, at that point, she said she didn't hear anything. So, and Lori in her interview, she just said that everything happened real fast. You know, it all happened super fast. You know, it's kind of crazy in their interviews, Kathy, that you know Lori was trying to hear what Tylee said. Tylee was so nervous, and Lori's in there acting like she's doing yoga, kind of like, what's that Arias girl, Jody Arias. Lori had drove Charles' rental car. Charles had his rental car and was taking JJ to school in there. And I guess between the house and the school, it's approximately about 15 minutes away.
So just for clarification, Alex is Lori's brother. Adam is her other brother. And Lori also has a sister named Summer. Lori also has a passed away sister that was the oldest sister in the family. And there's some weird story to that too, that we can go into at another time. But Alex has apparently been very, very close to Lori. Like, Lori, almost like whatever Lori says, Alex says, I'll do it, whatever it is. And we did go over the fact that Alex attacked Joe Ryan, you know, her other husband, Tylee's dad, in the past. So we know Alex is perfectly capable of doing whatever Lori tells him to do. And also, one thing I wanted to bring up is, remember that Lori and Alex have decided that Charles is a zombie. Charles is not Charles. Charles is a zombie. And this is what they've been telling everybody. And this is why Charles wanted Lori to get help so much.
Well, Charles, they say, was Ned Schneider. And if you look it up, there's a guy named Ned Schneider who passed away in Louisiana. So them and the, you know, the zombies. So anyway, outside, it was like between it was by 8 o'clock. Tylee, she was outside to make sure JJ, he was outside. Anyway, when she was out there, she had heard like a loud noise. And at first she didn't know what it was. She thought it was someone like hitting that bat. She sounded like a metal bat. She said, like they hit it on the floor really loud. I believe Tylee knew what was going on, sadly, but Lori didn't give any time frame of how long all that took, but there's all the pings where Lori was at and video cameras, and the cell phone, I think, is the main thing, like really tracked her out that whole morning, which now we have a better look at all that with the FOIA docs coming out and whatnot.
So should we play Alex's 911 call?
Yeah, that would be good right here. Yep.
So let me get the 911 call up.
Oh, and I do have that right here. It says that the time that Alex said that Charles was shot, it was a couple of minutes. That was the statement at the beginning of the 911 call. So that's in here too. So he later said that happened 5 minutes before he called 911, which we know it was 40 minutes.
He started advancing towards you.
Yes.
How many shots did you fire?
I don't know. A couple.
Detectives believe evidence shows Alex took 43 minutes to call 911.
I got in a fight with my brother-in-law and I shot him in self-defense.
So he later said that happened 5 minutes before he called 911, which we know it was 40 minutes, 40-ish minutes. Okay, good time for that call. That call was about 6 minutes long, by the way.
Yeah, it's so... Well, here, we'll start it. I have the whole thing, so go have a All drink right. of water. All right. Take a sip of something.
Go, girl.
All right, hold on. Here we go. I'm going to share.
I'm on it. Okay.
What is the emergency?
I shot my brother-in-law.
Okay, what part of his body is injured?
In the chest.
I'm sorry, where?
In the chest.
Okay, is he awake and responsive or unconscious?
Unconscious.
Okay, is he breathing?
I can't tell.
Okay, are you willing to go over to him and check?
Sure.
Okay, do you just let me know if you see his chest going up and down? How old is he?
It's not moving. He's 60.
Okay, and are you wanting to start CPR?
No, I don't know how to do that.
I can walk you through it.
Okay.
And what I want to do is you're going to put one hand in the center of his chest.
Yeah.
The other hand's going to go right on top of it.
Okay.
You're going to interlock your fingers, keeping your arms straight, and you're going to press down hard and fast into his chest. You're going to go 2 inches down and fairly quickly. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Making sure his chest goes up between each compression. Where's the gun now?
It's in the other room.
Okay. PD, we're going to stage for you.
Okay, thank you.
And just keep going with those compressions. PD, did you have any other questions?
Yes. What's your name, sir?
My name is Alex. Last name is Cox, C-O-X.
And where are you in the house now?
In the living room.
And where is the gun?
It's in a bedroom.
Who else is there in the house with you?
Just me.
What gun is it? Was it a...
It's my gun. It's a 45.
A pistol? 45 caliber pistol?
Yeah. Yeah.
What's his name, your brother-in-law?
Charles Vallow.
His last name, I'm sorry?
V-A-L-L-O, Vallow.
V like Victor or G like George?
V like Victor.
Well, police and medics are on the way to help you.
Thank you.
Are you still doing what, chest compressions with him?
Yes.
Okay, just keep pushing down hard and fast in the center of his chest. How long ago did this occur? Did it just happen?
Yeah, maybe 5 minutes before I called.
Okay. Make sure you're still pressing down at least 2 inches into his chest, and it comes up with each compression. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Okay, were you guys arguing when this happened?
Yeah.
Okay. And you said there's nobody else there, just you and him, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Could you just let us know when it's secure?
Certainly, we'll do that.
Thank you.
Was he armed also, or just you, or what happened there?
Yeah, he came at me with a bat.
Anyone been drinking or doing drugs or anything today, or no?
I don't know, but I've never seen him that enraged before.
Does he live there with you, or where does he live?
No, he lives in Houston.
He's what, married to your sister? Is she, where is she?
Correct. No, I think she's taking her son to school.
Okay. Questions? You're still doing that? Is he anything? Any response from him? No.
He's not responding at all.
Some officers should be there. Let me know when they get inside to you. Is the front door open?
Yeah. It's unlocked.
Okay. Can you come out, walk outside with your hands empty?
Sure.
Are you able to do that with your hands up and empty?
Yeah. Yeah.
Your front door, right?
Yeah. No weapons on me. Yep. 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 No one else is in the house.
Have a seat right there.
Yep.
Get FB in here.
Yep.
Have a seat.
Yeah.
Get some ID on you, sir.
So at this point, Alex called 911. We know there's a bunch of lies about the time. When he sits on the curb, he comes up with a little bit different story that he wouldn't clean himself up first, you know, this big knot gash on his head. And by the way, FYI, Charles Vallow was a professional baseball player, like in minor leagues, but baseball player in college and in minor league. So he, if he's going to swing a bat, Alex's head would have came off. That's my opinion on that one.
Yep.
So that's a big lie.
So a couple of things on that call that I'm sure you would feel the same is it sure didn't sound like Alex was out of breath because CPR takes a lot of energy and he didn't have that labored breathing or anything. So and in that little 5 minutes, he apparently went back and put his gun in the room. It's like, okay, if this was a shooting that just happened so quick and that call to 911 was 5 minutes later, what'd he do? Run down the hall and threw his gun on the floor and ran back out and called the police, did his chest compressions. I mean, it's just nuts. What was the other thing? Oh, Vallo, V-A-L-L-O.
At some point, Lori and Tylee come back, but there's the video when the police go in. I have the audio of that when the police go into and see Charles's body laying there. And then they start questioning Alex. And I would love to hear people's opinions on Alex's answers to these questions, because to me, from the very beginning, when I watched this 2 years ago, I was like, this police officer, in my opinion, you guys can let me know or let us know. I felt like the police officer was sort of feeding him answers to make it not as big of a deal as it actually really was. I don't know. That's just something I've heard. So you guys will listen to it and then you can let me know as well. But yeah, so the next part would be them going into the house and Alex coming out and sitting on the curb.
Yeah, I think it was like it's written, I think it was 8:43 in the morning, because that body, they had the body cam you know, all the police had the body cams going. And so it showed the police at about 8:43 going into the house. And that's when Alex came out. He had exited. They had went in. Or he exited. Yeah, then they went in. So they had blurred out the part, rightfully, of Charles laying on the floor, and he was laying parallel. That big, they had a big old mirror that Lori always danced around in. She thought she was, I don't know, ballerina or somebody, some great Greek goddess. Didn't mean to say Greek there, Kathy. Anyway, Charles was laying fat. You know, he was laying face up. He had his arms were spaced out. And here's the question, though, that they're saying that the bat was on the floor near the wall. And I do have some pictures of all that. Sadly, you know, it's all real hard to see. But so apparently the bat was on the floor. And the police had noted that. So the bat was on the floor and the gun was on the floor. But here's the thing. I thought Alex, the gun was in the bedroom. So there's some conflicting information there on what it was. Alex was staying in that back bedroom. It was a pink and black with white striped bedroom. Right. And he had sat out on the curbside that he was out there. He said, obviously we all know he stayed the night before at Lori's. So there's some conflicting stuff with that. Summer was on vacation, and one of the stories was Adam was coming to, I don't know, watch the dogs, and then he was, you know, but Charles paid his way out there. So it's like, to me, he should have went out there. And when they knew something was up, I'm just shocked that, you know, if you were laying, you know, if I knew something was up with you and there was all this stuff going on, I would make some kind of contact with you, you know? So I'm just surprised that at least the police weren't called. And, you know, it was 12 days later before Adam even called the police. So I don't know. There's different stories on that.
Yeah. And so, you know, since this was supposed to be them as a joint effort, making this intervention on Lori, it is pretty bizarre that, you know, they just weren't there and didn't hear from Charles. And Zach, you mentioned Zach. Zach is Adam's son. Zach was also in town with Adam at that time, because I think that's where Lori's sister and Adam's sister and Alex's sister, Summer, was going to be back east for whatever reason. And so they were house sitting or dog sitting or something like that. But what I was going to say is there's also a little bit more of a backstory to this that I forgot about. Melanie Gibb is Lori's friend who was very much involved in the thinking Chad Daybell clan group cult ideology. And Melanie Gibb had recently left her husband too. All these people that were involved in this cult, I call it a cult because it truly is when you really get into the nitty gritty. But Melanie Gibb had left her husband because apparently, since they were all going to be leading the 144,000, Lori was in charge of picking the people that can lead the 144,000 in the book of Revelations into the new millennium. I know this gets really weird and confusing, but this is their whole point and why they had to get rid of spouses and why they had to get rid of Charles. Because you couldn't take your actual spouse. You had to go get a new one. And this is all in their stuff that we've dug up later. But Melanie Gibb was actually staying with Lori the past few days before this. And in the records and what I've read in the background stuff, Lori was really mad because supposedly Charles was supposed to have died in an accident. And there's a lot of text messages between Lori and a woman named Zalema, who we haven't even gotten to yet, and Lori wanting Charles to be dead. And Zalema has this power where she can cause earthquakes to happen. And anyway, it gets really, really confusing, but I'm going to try to stay in this whole moment of Charles's murder. But the backstory that I wanted to add about Melanie Gibb is she was staying there the night before, and Lori told her she had to leave. And then for whatever reason, Lori called Alex to come over. So according to Kay Woodcock and Larry Woodcock, who are Charles's sister and brother-in-law, this was an ambush and this was planned, and they were planning on killing Charles. And the longer we've learned about the story, the more obvious it is. And, you know, but there were no charges for quite a while. So Melanie Gibb had to leave. Lori told her to leave for whatever reason, because I guess this was all going to go down, and they were prepared for it.
It's my understanding that Summer had called Alex to go stay with Lori. Did you hear that?
I heard that, but I think Summer was covering. I really do. I think it was already planned either between the three of them, or, you know, because Summer had said that in an interview, like a Dateline interview, I think, or something. She said, oh, yeah, it was my idea. I wanted Alex to go stay with Lori. But, you know, I can only believe about a quarter of what any of these people say. How it came
That's
about.
True. But the other thing is, apparently, sweet old Janice Cox goes in there. So they were feeding Lori kind of what was going on. So Janice, Summer, and Lori were all kind of on the same page there. So Lori knew when, you know, Adam, they were all kind of in on that. They were all telling each other where was who. So my personal opinion is Janice is no saint here.
Janice is Lori's mom.
Correct.
Yeah. Lori has parents, Janice and Barry. I probably talked about them in my very earlier podcast on this Afterglow podcast, but they are a different breed of people as well. Like anti-government, anti-everything. So there's a whole story about that. But yeah, Janice, I think Adam probably trusted Janice, told Janice stuff, and then Janice spread the word to everyone else, including Lori, Alex, and Summer, that Charles was coming and shit was going to go down, yep. You know? Yeah.
Yep. That's how that all went. Yeah. That's a whole new podcast, because I have whole stories on those two people, Janice and Barry Cox.
That's why I said every rabbit hole, this whole thing is rabbit holes. I mean, I've never seen a story like murder so full of so many different. We haven't even talked about the fact that Melanie's niece's husband, Brandon, was shot at. We can get to that in another episode, but that happened after all this too, as well. So yeah. So it's just.
So that interview, Kathy, when the police came, so Alex has, you know, like you had said, there's all, you know, everybody's got a little bits of different stories here. So at 8:43, the body cams show when Alex had come out and the cops are like, hey, what happened today? And I can't remember. Is that wasn't Detective Moffitt, was it? I can't remember. But a whole nother podcast is Jason Mao, was a good old friend with the police here, used to work there, and I think got let go. Anyway, so the police had said, hey, what happened here? And then Alex was like, I don't know. You know, Charles was enraged, this big old thing. He don't know what happened. He said Charles was like accusing him, and
yeah, it's a lot of word salad. Let's play it. You want to play it?
Yep, go for it.
Okay. We might pause in between to talk. Okay.
Sounds good.
Come out this way, man. You know, no weapons?
No weapons on me.
All right, come on out this way.
Yep.
I'm going to have you have a seat right here on the curb.
Right there. Let's get FD in here.
Yeah. Have seat. 18 seat secure. We got the gentleman out. Have fire rolling. Chandler Police Department. Anybody inside? Make yourself known. 18. We got one subject down. Apparent gunshot wounds in the chest. He's right here in the living room. Firearm's going to be in the front door, in the front bedroom, laying on the ground next to a case.
Thank you. We know the name.
We didn't have any of that as of right now.
This happened right here, fellas?
I believe so. The firearm's in the other room here. What's up? I can't. What you said? Yeah, I just did. Yep. I'm going to go see if we can.
Okay, the firearm's in the other room, he said. Where was it?
Yeah, he said, well, that he said that the firearm was it back in the bedroom. And if you noticed on that video, I had even seen Petrie. He had a red bag that he kept that gun in. Or not red, excuse me, orange. It was an orange little duffel bag that he had it in. But so I've heard two things. One is it was kicked on the side of the room, but it was truly back in the bedroom. Back out, do CPR, 5 minutes.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Okay. And the stories just get, you know, when he's asking, when he, you know, I was saying, when the officer was like, well, what is he accusing, you know, accusing you of? And he was just saying, I don't know. He was just freaking out. He was just yelling at me. And then he had said that Alex had said Lori, JJ, and Tylee left right before the shooting occurred. And that cop was like, wait a minute. You know, that's not what he had said before. And he said that the fight was over Lori. So he said he was getting physical. And he'd said, my niece came out with the bat. And the officer had interrupted him. And he said, hey, wait a minute. I thought you said your niece left. And then Alex was like, well, she did. That was before. You know, that was before.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so what is it? Was it before? So then he was saying that Charles came from in back of him. This is what he's telling him out on the curb, but he says that Charles.
We have that part too. We'll play that.
Back of him. Yeah. So that's okay. When he had said that when he came out, he said Charles, that's when he said he hit him on the back of the head. So he said he had turned around when he did that on the back. He goes, then I went to my room and got my gun. So okay, he hit you with the bat. Remember, there's 5 minutes in here. Goes in and gets his gun, you know, comes back out. And he told Charles, hey, drop the bat. And then he shot him twice in the chest. So, yeah.
And later we find out in the reports that one of the shots was when the way that the trajectory or the way it was angled or the way it went in, Charles would have been on the floor.
Yeah, and I think that was Lori, in my opinion.
That she gave him an extra shot?
Yep, it was like, I do. That's what I think, Lori.
I can totally picture it.
Oh, yeah. I can, too. Game, you know, yeah, I really can. I think that it was a enraged, you know, here, I got you one last time.
All right, I'm going to go back to this here.
You get this. You want to stay here? I'll see if I get this guy's info.
1, 2, 3, 4 shots. Something like that.
Did you get the guy inside name?
No, I haven't got his name. Charles is the husband of the occupants here. But I guess he lives in where?
You know his date of birth? It's from Houston.
Yeah. Is this vehicle here? How did he get here?
Is it here from Texas?
No, that's my sister's car. I think it came in a rental car. My sister's in it. I think it's a rental car.
1 Paul 18. The subject that's been shot is.
Are you up to?
Yeah.
Copy, several gunshot wounds.
There's a couple of shell cases behind me.
Shot many times.
What's the card?
I'm sorry.
And that's all we got because he's from Texas. So we don't really know much.
So, sir, I got what I have is
entrance. I'm gonna see if there's a wallet or something in here, bro. I would imagine he was probably staying in this room over here, I would think. Yeah, I'm just kind of looking for like a fucking wallet or something that's got this guy's. Yeah, something, because we got nothing, man. Because it sounds like dude's like a friend of the family or something. I'm going off.
Okay, so that was the introduction to what went on this day. So Alex is out there on the curb. This police officer is walking in the house. Paramedics are in the house. Charles is clearly passed away, dead. They're talking about 1, 2, 3, 4 shots. Sounds like a lot. Lori is gone still in the rental car. We saw that. He's like, whose car is this? That's my sister's car. Well, where's your sister? Well, she took the rental car. So it's all chaos and it's all ridiculous when you really think about it. You're going to leave the scene of a crime where your husband was just shot by your brother and then take with your daughter car. And your son and just take him to school and take his car? Yeah.
His car, so, his phone, his wallet. She had it all.
She had everything, right? So as insane as that sounds, as we know, the next part, Lori comes back. We will say that for season 1, episode 6, part 2. And this is part 1. So you guys can see the whole thing because there's a lot to this day. There's a lot to unpack. There's a lot here that even when they go to the police station. And so I think what we'll do is we'll go ahead and keep going on the next episode for this July 11th, 2019. What do you think, Michelle?
Yeah, no, I think that sounds great. And that is pretty much what happens next is, you know, Alex is put in a car and Lori and Tylee are in one. And yeah, that's the next part of this is going to the police station and their interviews and whatnot.
Yeah. So we'll come back and plan on having an episode drop once a week. I am back on track. I apologize for being gone for so long, but you know, sometimes life gets in the way and ready to go on this, and we will get your episodes up. I did see a comment on the podcast platform like, why are there only 6 episodes? So we're back. I got my co-host now. It'll make it a lot easier for me not to just talk to myself because I feel like I'm talking to myself when I do the podcast by myself. So thank you.
You just need someone kicking you in the butts. What needs to happen?
Well, this is true. This is true. I do, because I have a little bit of a problem with my ADD. I'm doing too many things.
Know that.
I got my candle business going and I got my YouTube channel and my travel channel and I got this. So gonna focus. I really enjoy doing it.
You got your mom in
and
there.
And my mom. Oh, and my kids and my dog and my pool. So there's a lot going on in my real life. And so, but I really do enjoy bringing this story to people that don't know it because there's so much to it and nobody is out there really telling the whole story from beginning to end. And that is my plan. So we'll stick with it. We're only 6 episodes in and there'll probably be 435 more at least. Not kidding. Not even kidding.
And at the end, we want to say here, justice for JJ, Tylee,
absolutely.
Charles and Tammy.
Because
and Joe's
in
there too, but yeah.
Yep. Yep. There's a lot of people's lives that got really badly destroyed over this all the way up until today, literally, you know, when we're recording this, actually, it's really sad because JJ's birth mom has passed away. So we'll get to all that as well. But it's the entire thing is just tragic. It just snowballed. So many people, so many family members and friends and lives have been destroyed by these people. And we haven't even begun to explore Chad's disgusting mess of a life.
Yeah, that was very sad yesterday on, what was that? June 17th, Mandy had passed away. So that was really sad. It's too bad.
And you can't, and you know, obviously very young, obviously it's no secret that she struggled with addiction, but knowing having all this cannot help you when you have an addiction, knowing that you've given up your child to people that actually murdered him.
Yeah,
I can't imagine the guilt she feels and felt. And I can only imagine that that would bring her to the point where she literally is no longer with us as well, you know, mentally.
So, yeah. Yeah. And to add in there, I heard Todd, Kay's son, is doing really great. So that's good.
Oh, good.
His addiction. Yeah. Really, really
that's
good.
That's JJ's bio father. JJ's right. Bio father. Yeah. Okay, so on that sad note, you know, it is a tragic story, and but I think it's one worth being told. And there's a lot of us that have been following this case for several years now. Started really getting into it during COVID and been following it in real time. So if you want to see more, go back and see everything from the beginning. I have hundreds of videos on it on my YouTube channel, Left Undone, Incomplete Investigations. And thanks, Michelle. Anything else before we go?
No, that's about it.
Okay.
You have a good day down there in sunny California.
I shall. Thank you so much. All right. And have a good day up there and right. Whatever happens in Montana. I don't know what kind of weather
it's been
you
warm.
Have.
It snows one day and it's sunny the next. So, but it's been sunny 2 days, so we're good. Yep.
All right.
All right. Well, you take
care.
All
right. Thanks, everybody. All right. Bye, everyone. Thank you for being here on Afterglow, Unveiling the Idaho Cult.
Afterglow.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Theme music by Dan Lebowitz. Thank you to one of the best sources out there for this case, Justin Lum, investigative reporter, Fox 10 Phoenix. And thank you to my guest, Michelle, who shall be here as much as I can possibly make her. Take care, everybody, and thanks again.